A prison advisory board in Kamloops has resigned after changes at the jail. BC Corrections has issued new guidelines for its community advisory board. But the board at Kamloops Regional Correctional Center says the new rules leave them without any voice. Sean Thompson is the former chair of the prison's advisory board. We've reached him in Kamloops. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, thank you. So can you just tell me what the prison advisory board does?
The prison advisory board is an independent board of citizens created under the policy of the provincial prison branch to advise the prison branch on matters relating to the prison that would have to do with the care of the offenders, how the programs are delivered, and to communicate with the community at times when it's necessary.
And can you tell me about the people who are on this board?
Well, my board members, which all resigned with me, one is a former city council member, one is a former executive assistant to the mayor, one is a former RCMP officer, one is a former police matron. I'm a former prison reporter and author of a book on federal prisoners. So we all have some degree of expertise and understanding in justice issues.
So the Kamloops Regional Correctional Center issued new guidelines for your board. And how did these guidelines change the role of the board?
Okay. It wasn't the local prison that issued the guidelines. These are guidelines in the provincial policy. So they are guidelines issued by the BC Corrections Branch for all community advisory boards. And there are three aspects to the restrictions which we put together. The first are the new guidelines. The second is a confidentiality agreement. And the third is their intent in how they see these things being implemented. So when we looked at the general language, we asked them, what do you mean by this? And they said, well, this is how we see this as being implemented. So we're reacting to all those things. And there are a series of things, and you have to put them all together to understand the answer to your question, that is, how are things being changed? And another aspect of that is you also have to look at what has dropped out of the guidelines, because guidelines normally tell you what you can do, and if it's not in the guidelines, that in effect means you're not supposed to do it. So, for example, my board and I went back and looked at the guidelines since 1996, the series of guidelines, and we looked at how the wording has changed and what things have dropped out. And a big part of this, the change that we're concerned about, has to do with communications functions, both the ability of of our prison boards like ours to communicate with the public, and also the ability of the prison to communicate with the community. So the part of the communications policy, which we've been objecting to and which the prison branch has indicated they're upset with us objecting to it publicly, and we've been doing this since 2005, is new policy of the prison branch. It's actually not that new. It goes back 4 or 5 years. And this policy says that the wardens of the prisons can't talk directly to the press and to the community. And we've been objecting to this as leading to a breakdown in communication between local prisons and their communities and undermining public trust and confidence. So that's sort of a piece of all this communication strategy. Now, just in terms of boards like mine and charting the changes, the guidelines going back years ago to 1996 designate that the chair, like myself, of a prison advisory board can talk to the local media. Well, several years ago, they removed that wording from the guidelines. And by removing that from the guidelines, they're indicating that they don't want the chair to have that mandate of talking to the media. But what they've done in addition to that, besides removing language that allows us to talk publicly, they've also created wording that creates more and more restrictions about what we can say. So they, for example, say that we can only talk about educational matters. Well, if you can only talk about educational matters, that eliminates things such as discussing publicly what we're doing right now is the restrictions to the guidelines, because that's not a matter of public education. You know, there was the confidentiality agreement that they wanted us to sign has two legitimate principles in it, which we accept, that would restrict communication. One is that community advisory boards should not give out information that is protected, information about inmates, and that would include staff as well, but primarily inmates, that is protected under the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. And the Act applies to all civil servants working for ministries in British Columbia, and so it includes the prison service. And the Community Advisory Board, since we are created by the prison policy, we fall under the Act. Well, we agree with that, and the Act has been affecting for years, and we've never been asked to sign a confidentiality agreement, and neither have our counterparts on federal citizens advisory boards doing similar tasks for Corrections Canada for federal penitentiaries. They aren't asked to sign confidentiality agreements relating to privacy legislation because there's no need. The legislation applies. You don't have to sign an agreement for legislation to apply. I mean, that would be like saying, you'd have to go around and get people to sign agreements that they're not going to rob banks. No, the law is quite clear what you can and can't do, and legislation is set up so you have to obey it without signing agreements. So there's no need for us to sign a confidentiality agreement for that, and we agree to that. And another part of the confidentiality agreement is that we won't release security information about the prison. And we agree with that. We agree those two principles are good. Now, in terms of security information, we asked the warden, if you don't want us to release security information, can you tell us what would be security information? And he said, no, I can't tell you that. All information is security information. So if all information is security information, that leaves you very little that you can say. And so these are just a couple examples, and things go on. Restrictions about when we can meet and where we can meet and what we can do. And they accumulate into this picture of a government trying to control information and now trying to control the information through its own independent community advisory boards. And there's not much purpose in having a board if all it can do is absorb information. It can, of course, make recommendations to the prison service, but you know, we've made recommendations, and they really, we haven't seen them substantially put to use. So we're not being effective there. And on top of that, what good is a board if we absorb the information, our recommendations don't seem to go anywhere, and we really are being told that we can't talk publicly? I mean, the prison board not only doesn't want, the prison service not only doesn't want boards like mine talking publicly, it doesn't want the boards talking to each other. So when we recommended last year that the prison service form an association of community advisory boards where we could discuss things of mutual concern, such as the guidelines, such as the confidentiality agreement. And Corrections Canada does this with our counterparts at the federal level. the Citizens Advisory Committees for federal penitentiaries. In BC, in the Pacific area, those Citizens Advisory Committees, they meet four times a year to discuss things. They meet nationally. But in response to our recommendation that the provincial prison service form an association of our boards, they said no. You know, we just want you to focus on the local prison. So it's pretty clear they don't even, they not only want to restrict what we can say publicly, they don't want to even talking to each other. And if we were talking to each other, we would be finding interesting things, such as I found out since our group resignation, the prison branch has been commenting publicly that we seem to be the only advisory board that's concerned about this and nobody else has resigned. The other boards have been watching the media reports, and I heard from one a couple of days ago, another board, that they were thinking of resigning in the fall as well. They changed their mind upon reassurances, but it was still in their minds, you know. And we were, the idea of us communicating with other boards has been blocked. I mean, we asked for their contact information several times last year, and we weren't given it. So, you know, in answer to your question, what kind of change is there? There's been this gradual creeping change to take communication functions away from us, to take out the language of the guidelines, to put in new restrictions, most of it seemed to accentuate last year. And when we asked them about their intent in this wording, we became even more alarmed in what they said, because it seemed to indicate that what little they would allow us to talk publicly would be in very broad and general terms, and they saw us as following the script of their own, of what they wanted to communicate publicly, rather than us speaking out independently as this board is defined in the policy. So just let me read you a couple of sentences from their own language in response to us about this, as how they see them controlling the information from us. So here's one quotation. The Community Advisory Board may indeed choose to become involved in promoting the prison in the community. This must be done in consultation with the prison management so as to ensure a consistent approach and appropriate messaging that is in keeping with current provincial communication strategies, end quote. Well, if the board must speak according to appropriate messaging that is in keeping with current provincial communication strategies, we're just speaking with the same voice and restricted to speak with the same voice as a prison branch. Let me give you one more quotation in this light. Quote, all information, verbal and written, arising from business conducted by the Community Advisory Board is the property of the Communications Branch. As such, the Corrections Branch determines the manner in which such information is conveyed beyond CAB, end quote. And we were concerned about language that would say determines the manner in which such information is conveyed.
So how did the prison respond to your resignation?
Well, they've not responded to us directly. They've not replied to us. And I sent a letter the Monday before Friday resignation to the Solicitor General, John Van Dongen, as a courtesy, and a long email letter and telling him the reasons we were resigning and giving a lot of detail. I never received a response from that, and I copied that to our two local MLAs. I never received a response to that. All that we've gotten is what we've heard through their own communications branch, which is that these boards exist under policy, and they exist for a good reason, as long as you protect the independence of their function and you protect the integrity of the function. So they'll simply go ahead, they've said through the media, and find new citizens to sit on the board. And one of our recommendations in light of this last year was that they put in the guidelines that the board choose its own members subject to security clearance. And the reason for us recommending that is if the warden chooses himself the citizens to sit on the citizen, the community advisory board, it could have the public perception that he's just stalking it with people who will agree with what the prison branch wants them to agree with, rather than giving valuable, independent advice.
So what does this all mean for the prisoners at Kamloops Regional Correctional Center?
Well, it means that the next board is likely not to believe it has an independent voice, and not to speak directly to the community. I think in a way, it's also a large concern for staff at the prison, because they are part of the prison too, and we wanted to see our mandate extended beyond just the well-being of the prisoners to the staff as well. But don't forget, one of the primary functions of a board like this actually concerns the well-being of the community, and that's another area where you have to be concerned about what could be lost with a board that doesn't feel it can speak out publicly and speak independently. You know, you have to look at prisons. They are secretive places. They have walls. There's not much information coming out of them. And, you know, frankly, the public is not too concerned about what happens inside a prison. It should. I mean, there's things that are going on that we notice, the prison service knows, such as overcrowding, and overcrowding is inhumane and is dangerous both to prisoners and line staff. And so, you know, the politicians, the bureaucrats, need people who can see through the walls and keep them on their toes about these sorts of things and keep informing the public. But from public's perspective, it's not difficult to understand why there isn't more concern about what's happening in prisons. You know, it's from a public position. It's out of sight, out of mind. That's not good thinking, because what happens inside the prison has a direct bearing on the community. The people in the prisons are offenders, and they'll be released to the streets someday. And so the public should have eyes inside the prison, like a community advisory board, who is watching this process taking place and giving advice to the prison service about it. Because if the prisoners are not rehabilitated when they're released to the streets, that's going to affect the community. And in Canada, we really don't have up-to-date recidivism rates, knowing rates that tell us how likely offenders are to reoffend. The last good recidivism rates we have for the federal prisons are a decade old. They're reliable, and they indicate recidivism rates of 41% to 44%. So that is an indication of the vulnerability of the community to what happens inside the prisons. And I have to put that in context. You know, that recidivism rate, you have to understand that it's a very difficult task that prison services have. They are given the task without adequate resources to deal with people who have a lot of problems. You know, There's mental illness amongst offenders, there's drug addictions, there's all kinds of dysfunction. And the prison service has a very difficult task, whether it's federal or provincial, of trying to rehabilitate these people, They need more resources. And in a recession, one only wonder what will happen when prisons put forward their budgets. So having said that, there's in federal prisons there's a recidivism rate of 41% to 44%. That has to be put in context of the difficulty of the task that the prison services are getting and the resources they're given to do that. So the impact you're asking, the impact and what can be lost by an independent voice is not only to the well-being of the prisoners, but it's also to the well-being of the guards and also to the well-being of the community.
How optimistic are you that the prison will reverse its decision or that BC Corrections will reverse its decision on the new guidelines?
I don't think there's any chance they will reverse their decision. What I'm hoping and what my board is optimistic about is that by resigning in such a public way and getting as much publicity as we have, that will in turn empower the remaining community advisory boards. That is, the prison service doesn't want any more resignations. And I think, and my board thinks, and our optimism lies in thinking that the good we are doing by resigning is to empower these other boards for a time period, and we expect that the prison service will listen to them more because of our resignations. You know, our resignation was done not in cynicism, but in an idealistic way that we wanted to preserve the role and the function of community advisory boards, which we believe is good. And if we accepted the restrictions, we would not be helping to preserve them as they should be preserved. So, you know, we see our act of resignation as idealistic towards these boards. That is, their integrity should be maintained. And we saw the only way of bringing attention to maintaining that integrity, which was to resign. So, I don't think you're going to see the prison board doing the prison service doing things differently. But we would hope that with what we've done, that people appreciate what should be the integrity on these boards, and also that the remaining boards will have more influence.
Sean, thanks for speaking to us.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Take care.
Sean Thompson is the former chair of the Prison Community Advisory Board at Kamloops Regional Correctional Center.